Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, hi there. It's Matthew Donald here to tell you about the Matthew Donald Patreon. That's right. I bet you didn't see this coming. Patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for both my shows, The Right Way and Paleobites. For the Paleobites bonus episodes, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about the classic dinosaur movie, perhaps my favorite movie of all time. It came out in a year ending in three. It has four syllables, three syllables in the first word, one in the second. First word ends in ick. That's right. It's the one, the only, the best classic dinosaur movie of all time, Sorry, I had something in my throat there. Anyways, it's Pacific Rim! That's right, Pacific Rim. Now, I bet you're thinking, wait a minute, Donald, that's not a dinosaur movie. And that's where you're wrong. Remember that scene where Charlie Day said, you know, there was a trial run with the kaiju. It was the dinosaurs. That counts! It's my favorite movie of all time, guys. We just wanted an excuse to talk about it. In fact, we want such an excuse to talk about it that we're probably going to talk about it every year. Check out the link in the description for our first of our annual Pacific Rim episodes for the Patreon. Thank you for your support and have a wonderful day. It's great. Life's so great.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast that, because I just recently got the booster shot, puts the soar in dinosaur. It hurts, but it's worth it. Anyways, my name's Matthew Donald, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I'm joined by famed bus driver, famed adventurer, famed, what else do you do?
Well, famed, quite a...
Yeah, I was going to say, you do so much. Famed, like...
I am a jack of all and master of none.
Yes, yes, indeed. I don't know, you're way more master at some things than I am. Anyways, it's Natasha Crack. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great, other than my sore arm, but... I'm doing... because, like, I have a baby to protect. My niece is a year old, so... And until they get vaccines for her, we're all going to get the boosters, so... That is what it is, but... this pandemic, it will never end!
It seems that way.
Although, from what I've read... Okay, also, by the way, we're recording this on December 11th. I think this comes out, like, in January sometime. But from what I've read, the Omicron variant, however you pronounce it, is, again, like most pandemics tend to do, more contagious, less deadly. So...
So it's on its way to becoming basically the common cold.
Yes, that is the hope. Like, eventually, if you look at, like... Because I go to, like, worldometers.com or .org or .gov or whatever it is, I don't know. And I look at it every day, and you can even see that, like, while case numbers and new cases have continued to remain stable, death numbers, there's a clear downward slope.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah. Hopefully it gets to the point where, like... Like, whether you get the vaccine or not, whether you wear a mask or not... Like, it's just whatever. It's just a disease. Obviously, if you're immunocompromised, you'll have issues, but that's true of any disease, so...
Yeah.
That's...
And I don't talk about this super openly, but the chances are I tangled with the virus very, very early on because I was a transit operator.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're exposed so much.
Oh, honestly, those in the transportation industry were ignored pretty early on.
No, I remember you telling me, it's like, you guys... got this, you guys saw that it was happening before it actually...
Well, yeah, I remember that a good portion of my Longmont bus yard, former Longmont bus yard, I've changed careers, a lot of us got viciously sick late 2019, early 2020, and so when we started seeing that they were talking about this, a lot of us realized our symptoms lined up almost to a T.
Oh, yeah.
Me, I did end up with a long-term effect where I get vicious migraines.
Oh, yeah.
And I use Monster Energy drinks medicinally.
Nice word, medicinally.
So this is not a promo for Monster Energy drinks. Be
careful. This episode is sponsored by Monster Energy drinks. But no, I get
that. Be careful with the darn things. They have so much stimulants. But then again, if you look at what's in Excedrin, it's not much better.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, you have been exposed to that stuff. You are double vax, though, right?
I think. Yes.
Okay, so that's fine, honestly. Like if get whatever you want. Like, I mean, obviously, I recommend everyone get vaxxed in terms of the booster shot. Like, whatever you feel is the most comfortable, I say. Like, I think, you know, we're again, with the Omicron variant being less deadly, you should be fine if you're, I don't know. It's, again, whatever you feel is best for your own judgment.
Again, I believe in safety, despite my harsh sounding views. For those of you who know me in person,
you're
come across kind of harsh. But I actually care.
Yeah, no, I know you do. So and
please do work with your medical professional on what's best for you.
Yes, get double vaxxed. After that, do whatever you want. But if you do decide to get the booster, it's completely safe. So just again, whatever you want to do. Again, except you might get sore like I did. Be putting the sore in dinosaur. Ugh. Man, moving my arm here. Okay, so dinosaur related question. Okay. All right. Speaking of COVID, if there could be a new, oh God, why do I come up with these things on the spot? I need to plan these in advance.
Come on, people love it when we go on the fly.
Oh yeah, indeed. Oh man, so
our tangents are legendary.
If you had a new variant of COVID or just any disease, actually makes more sense, that was themed around dinosaurs, what would it do to the human body?
Ooh. You're talking to a person who has read way too many comic books,
yes.
Watches way too many. Honestly, if I were a supervillain,
yes.
I wouldn't go for something so obvious that targets the respiratory system.
Oh.
I would not go obvious. I'm sorry, but
Come
on.
So what would you do instead? Was it just like done visually? Just you look at someone like, that's it?
Nah. If I were to spread a virus, I'd target the water supply.
Oh, yes.
And again, if I wanted to control human population, I would make it super subtle. I would, you know, go for fertility.
Okay.
And make it so it...
It sounds like you've thought a lot about this.
Honestly, there have been times when the open road starts talking and my inner supervillain starts talking.
Yeah, it's
talking,
just like,
and it's
you're
like,
driving
oh,
the
dear.
Bus, you're driving the bus and your mind wanders.
I mean, Route 228 on a bad day, oh dear heavens.
Okay, so how would it be dinosaur themed though? Would it be like... You would suddenly only have two fingers.
That would be a hilarious indicator.
Sharp teeth.
You know,
slowly
maybe
become a little
some,
bitty T-Rex.
Maybe some elongation of the canines.
Yeah.
To make it a little bit
become
obvious.
Become dino zombies.
Ooh, dino zombies. That would be fun. Maybe they start hallucinating the dino zombies.
So it's actually not really dino zombies. It's all in their head.
And, you know, we could come... Is there any dinos that are named in something kind of scary?
I mean, yeah, there's Tyrannotitan.
Ooh.
There's T-Rex, obviously. There's Scorpionator.
Ooh.
I'm trying to think of like one that's like...
Scorpionator sounds creepy and super villainy.
Oh, there's actually a dinosaur literally called Thanos.
Yeah, but we don't know enough about it. And let's be honest, Thanos is more the villain that makes you think. He's not outright scary. He's just one that makes you
think. I think he's pretty terrifying, but the most terrifying thing about him is, like, I can see some of his points, but obviously, like, this is not the way to do it, but...
I mean, that is what makes him more of an interesting villain than outright scary, but maybe I've been delving too much into the world of the SCP universe.
Yes, the one with all the weird creatures and what have you.
The Lovecraftian-style horror without the, not so ageless tropes.
Oh man, I follow this YouTube channel called Meta Ball Studios. It does like these 3D models of like all the stuff, comparing them and like from different franchises. Like they have like biggest spaceships, biggest planets, biggest creatures. Like biggest, they had one thing, biggest sea monsters.
Ooh.
And obviously the biggest one was this weird horseshoe crab looking one from SCP that was like the size of the Atlantic.
Oh, the SCP universe also has Jorgenmunder.
Yes. Yeah, I think
and
that was
a few
in the video.
Other terrifying sea serpents. And some terrifying coral.
Right. Oh, no, there's a lot of terrifying stuff. But this video was really good at, like, incorporating a lot of cool stuff and a lot of unique stuff. And some stuff I wouldn't necessarily classify as sea monsters. Is Godzilla a sea monster? I mean, he comes from the sea, but...
Yeah. Oh, let's leave that to our listeners to debate.
Listeners,
is Godzilla a sea monster?
Listeners, Go in, listen, email in. Is Godzilla a sea monster? Man. In the MonsterVerse, he does have gills as well as lungs. So.
Oh, so maybe he's technically an amphibian.
Yeah. Yeah, anyways. speaking of none of that, I guess we're going into the chambers of prehistory. And speaking of chambers, we're talking about Camarasaurus or chambered lizard. There we go. That was my bad segue. type, it is a Macronarian sauropod, a group of long-necked dinosaurs known for their enlarged nasal cavities. Not navel cavities. Yeah, they have big belly buttons.
How the hell would that show up in the fossil record?
Oh, man, especially because they didn't have umbilical cords. okay, no large nasal cavities. They're very closely related to the titanosaurs, though. So that's cool. Size 49 to 75 feet / 15 to 23 meters long, 25 to 45 tons. I like how most dinosaur books I've read, they say it's a medium-sized sauropod.
I suppose compared to some of the giants that we all think of classically.
I know, it's all relative in terms of dinosaurs that large overall, but still, if a 75-foot-long, 45-ton behemoth walked down the street in modern times, it would make everyone crap their pants in terror.
Yeah, or wonder what Hollywood was up to this time.
But back then, it was just medium-sized. What a time to be alive. diet herbivore, of course. Wager very, very few carnivorous long necks out there. In fact, I'd wager not any. Time, late Jurassic, 155 to 145 million years ago. Location, Colorado and Utah, USA.
So our home state, folks.
Yes, indeed. Oh, if you go to Dinosaur Ridge, there's plenty of Camarasaurus bones there.
Nice.
Yes, described in 1877. Pop culture appearances, the TV documentaries When Dinosaurs Roamed America and Jurassic Fight Club, although I'd use the term documentary loosely when talking about that latter show, as well as Dinosaur Train, Jurassic Park Builder, but not oddly not Jurassic World the Game.
who knows what these game developers?
Yeah, Jurassic World Evolution 1 and 2, the upcoming Prehistoric Kingdom, among quite a few others, but oddly it never appears in Walking with Dinosaurs despite the one episode. There's one episode that being said at that time and place it was at, and it being the most common long neck of its time, I guess in comparison to the super long Diplodocus and the super tall Brachiosaurus, good old medium-sized Camarasaurus wasn't cool enough.
Clearly not. Or maybe they, again, just got caught up in all the other dinosaurs. I mean, CG does take a lot of computer
space. It's true. Well, I mean, when Dinosaurs in America had them, but it also only had Camarasaurus and Apatosaurus. It didn't have Diplodocus or Brachiosaurus, so
that's
it's like
fair.
It picked two different ones. It also had Ceratosaurus, which Walking with Dinosaurs also lacked.
Huh.
The coolest part was when these Ceratosaurus were chasing these Dryosaurus, and then just before it reached them, it does the classic, there's always a bigger fish thing, when an Allosaurus gets the Ceratosaurus and kills it.
Yeah, there is always a bigger fish in there.
Yes, is in there. Qui-Gon Jinn was not wrong. There's always a bigger fish, especially if you follow SCP.
Yes, and that world is its own bit of a horror.
Absolutely, there's always a bigger fish. All right, so if you ask any low-blow Froyo Joe on the street to name some Jurassic sauropods, they'd probably be like, sauropods, is that like a new iPod?
Probably.
Then you dumb it down and say Jurassic longnecks. They'd be like, Jurassic longnecks? No, your ass is a longneck. Then you dumb it down even further and say, name some longneck dinosaurs. They'd be like, oh, my apologies, I did not understand your request at first. Well, there's Apatosaurus and Brontosaurus. As of 2015, they're technically correct again, and Brachiosaurus. Then you're like, any more? And they're like, nope, those are the only ones. Then you thank them for your time and then give them a quarter.
Or send them to the nearest natural history museum.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, I'll never forget the time when I was at Dinosaur National Monument on the Colorado-Utah border, and there was this great wall of all these dinosaur bones, and the person there, she was like, it's like, there are 8 different species there. Can you name them all? And I'm like, what is this? 145 million years ago? And I named them all. So
for me, one of the cooler dinosaur museums, actually just a museum in general on the Colorado border, would be the Fruta Museum.
Oh, I never went there.
It's near the Colorado National Monument, which I camped on top of.
Oh, cool.
Back in my camp counselor years.
Yeah.
Sand and sunburn don't mix.
I can imagine.
But they had quite the selection of dinosaurs there from what I remember. They also had a whole section dedicated to the history of whitewater rafting,
ooh,
including the first Looney Tune to go down the Grand Canyon
ooh, yes,
in a wooden boat. I still wonder how he survived lava falls.
Yeah. Oh, lava falls.
Yeah, so...
I mean, I'm assuming not literally lava falls.
No.
But still.
Well, it's a class 5 rapid from what I've seen of...
They categorize rapids.
Oh, heck yeah.
That's
funny. That's one thing I learned in my first year as a camp counselor.
Yeah. I want to go to the Royal Tyrrell Museum in Alberta, Canada.
That would be cool. That's supposed to be a good one.
Well, not only is it a good one, I've read they have a sign raptor on display there.
Nice.
My favorites, the Star of Megazoic books. I thought I had to go to China to see a sign raptor skeleton. But no, there's one in the Royal Tyrrell Museum. So I'm trying to get a bunch of my friends to go on a road trip up there. And while we're up there, we're going to go to the West Edmonton Mall.
Nice.
Which is like the biggest mall in North America, like twice the size of the Mall of America, to the point
now
where...
Now that's saying something, because the Mall of America is nothing to shake a stick at.
Well, and also this mall's so big, it has an indoor water park and an indoor amusement park, complete with several roller coasters.
that's saying something, because back when I was a kid in the 90s, I remember one or two times going to the Mall of America, and Camp Snoopy had one or two water rides. They still have the roller coasters.
Yeah.
But the water rides are, well, when I was out there last for my grandfather's 90th birthday.
Yeah.
The water rides were out of commission.
Anyway, so Camarasaurus. So there's a one major player in the sauropod game, though, one that everyone seems to forget about, despite being by far the most common sauropod in North America. And that's good old medium-sized Camarasaurus.
You know, maybe because it was common, it's been skipped over, which is unfortunate because the common can be just as interesting as the rare.
It was the sheep of the Morrison formation of Jurassic.
You think more museums would want them.
Yeah, but like, not only is it the most common, it's also the most well-preserved, with several complete skeletons found since its initial discovery and naming in 1877. This was another one of those dinosaurs found hastily during the fabled Bone Wars.
Oh!
Between O'Neill Charles Marsh and Edward Drinker Cope, where this species was named by the latter, so Edward Drinker Cope. In response, the former found another species and named it Morosaurus, probably trying to inflate his dinosaur genus count.
Ego trips, they never change.
Most paleontologists nowadays presume Morosaurus to be another species of Camarasaurus, so you're not fooling us, Marsh. You can't find more dinosaurs by naming it Morosaurus. That's not how it works.
No, there's got to be some pretty distinctive differences.
Man, I would love... What is it, like, most... A lot of... One of the reasons why I never wanted to be a full-on paleontologist is because I don't like the outdoors.
Ah.
Like, this is where you and I differ greatly. We're similar in a lot of other areas, but this area, we're just, like, so different. I hate the outdoors. I mean, I like them to a point. But, but like, just working out in the Badlands, like, lifting heavy rocks, sounds like hell to me. But sometimes, you know, if you're browsing through a museum's collection and you find bones that are already there, you'll be like, oh, wait, this is different. And you can describe a new dinosaur species without ever leaving the building.
And that's where I say to each their own, because...
Oh, I've be a great paleontologist, like, out in the field.
Yeah, I've gone out in some very adverse weather.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday we got our first official snow.
Oh, yes.
It was snowing part of the day in Boulder, and we were in a marsh.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because it wasn't really, like, a very deep snow. It was very wet snow, so...
Yeah, and... Both me and my coworker wear very indestructible cargo pants.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, while they cost a pretty penny, they seem borderline indestructible and very little gets through them.
Well, that's the thing. You know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I'm out in the woods, be like, and I die. Into the Wild is a movie that would be me. I'd die. I never saw that movie. Anyway, so...
Yeah, Into the Wild... As I understand it, had a lot of flaws, too.
Oh, okay. All I know is it starred Emile Hirsch as the lead, who I like him in Speed Race.
From what I understand, one of the biggest flaws is how they portray foraging for wild foods.
Oh, yeah.
While, yes, you do have to be safe and sure of your identification.
Yes.
Not every wild food is going to kill you.
No.
I love finding raspberries along trails during peak season.
Yeah, no, exactly. Most foods there are meant to be eaten by animals.
Yeah.
So why would they kill us?
One of the biggest things to look for, and this will vary region to region, is insect and animal damage.
Oh, yes.
Insect and animal damage will show you that it's being eaten regularly.
Oh, and so you want to eat the ones that have been eaten by other animals.
With caution, because deer can digest certain things that we can't.
I guess that's true, yeah. So.
Same with any other ungulate, raccoons.
Well, I mean, like, they also, like, I mean, they're not really grazers, but, like, grass. They're, like, grass is so hard to digest. Just because certain animals can eat grass does not mean we can.
No, we actually can't.
Yes, we're like dogs.
For a really good example of that is, so, yes. Nightshade, Belladonna.
Yeah.
You will almost never see a lot of insect damage on that.
Oh, so and don't eat it.
Yeah. Well, and it's got some pretty, it's a beautiful plant.
Yes.
We don't have it here in Colorado.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't recognize that name, so.
Atropa Belladonna. It is better known as deadly nightshade.
Oh, well then, yep, no, don't
but,
eat it.
Guess what? Several members of the nightshade family are totally edible.
Oh, which ones?
Tomatoes.
Oh,
tomatoes are directly related.
This makes sense why you always want to talk about different prehistoric plants, because you seem to know your horticulture, your botany.
I'm a hobbyist gardener. I have quite the collection of indoor houseplants that sometimes nice. I propagate for people.
Yes.
I'm working on a couple propagations of pothos.
Ooh.
Pothos are one of the most common houseplants, but they are fun and easy to take care of.
All my plants in my apartment are plastic. I could probably kill cacti if I wanted to.
Some cacti are actually surprisingly finicky.
Okay, well then I guess they don't feel too bad. Okay. All right, so Camarasaurus had a relatively short neck and tail compared to other sauropods, with the animal being more stocky and robust rather than the long and slender Diplodocus or Apatosaurus. Despite its short neck, though, chambers in its nose, where it gets its name, allowed to more efficiently inhale oxygen, which, with its heart able to pump blood up to its head more easily because of this, and therefore, Camarasaurus could hold its neck up almost completely vertically, unlike Diplodocus or Apatosaurus, which held theirs more horizontally.
And that's interesting to know, and I bet you it was very sound-based, but, you know, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I mean, most times in, like, movies and what have you, they make long necks make whale noises because they're basically land whales. Like, well, at least in terms of size, not in terms of anything else. But
yeah. That would have been interesting to hear their range of vocalizations. If they're better able to breathe, then they're better able to vocalize,
I think. Yeah, exactly. Especially like with something like that. Maybe it would sound like an elephant or something.
Perhaps.
And also, there's been some speculative art of different long necks like Brachiosaurus that sort of envisioned it with a little bitty trunk, too.
Oh, almost like a tapir.
Yeah, almost like a tapir. And again, this is purely hypothetical. Like, there's no evidence for it. But like, if you're looking like where the nostrils are, like some people are like, you know, that wouldn't fossilize, so why not?
I mean, they do have a point. So,
yeah.
We all know here on this podcast that soft tissue really doesn't fossilize except under extremely rare circumstances.
Well, that's why, like, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, the origin of the Cyclops came from them finding elephant skulls and seeing, what is that big hole in the middle?
I mean, I don't blame him. I could see it.
Like, that must be a giant eye socket, right?
I mean, yeah, considering what we didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
I could honestly understand why, without the tusks, they would see a Cyclops.
Exactly. Camarasaurus shared its environment with these other species as well, which makes me wonder how in the world this place could handle so many different giant long-necked dinosaur species. And there's more, too. There's Barosaurus, Brontosaurus, and Brachiosaurus as well, with some outliers like Amphicelius and Supersaurus as well.
So we had an impressive array of sauropods here, is what you're saying.
That's a lot for one area and one part of time, especially considering most habitats tend to support only one species for each ecological niche. Mm-hmm. So how did this work? Presumably they all lived in slightly different habitats or slightly different times, as in they're all dated around 155 to 145 million years ago, which is a wide range.
That is a wide range.
But also, some of them could have cohabitated due to feeding on different plants. Like Brachiosaurus would have feeded on the high branches of conifer trees. Camarasaurus eat the slightly lower branches of those same trees, while Diplodocus and Apatosaurus would eat the lower plants with softer leaves, because their teeth were not meant for chewing on tough conifers. Like.
And you know, that would make sense. We even have examples of that today.
Yeah. Well, it's because, like, you know, you have different places with, like, all these different creatures. But, you know, there's always, like,
elephants and rhinos cohabitate, and they're both giant herbivores.
Yeah, but it'd be more like if there's, like, here's an elephant, and here's another type of elephant, also on the Serengeti. Like,
you know, I think, and our listeners will have to correct me if I'm wrong, there are places where the elephants we think of on the Serengeti and the African bush elephant do cross over.
That's true. I guess there's a different subspecies. Sort of like how there's like the plain zebra, and then there's the mountain zebra.
Yeah, and all the different species of giraffe.
Yeah, that's true. Reticulated giraffe, Maasai reticulated giraffe, or whatever other ones. African forest elephants.
Yeah.
So
I don't see why that wouldn't be a plausible explanation with these sauropods.
And again, like, you have, like, zebras and wildebeest and Thompson's gazelles. These are all grazers.
Yeah.
So, and they all lived in the same time and place. Mm-hmm. So.
Heck, even here in Colorado, we have a huge range of grazers that are native.
Yeah, you got, like, bison, and you've got pronghorn antelope and
our mule deer, our elk.
Yeah, are they grazers? I thought they were browsers.
Moose or elk?
Or elk or
a little bit of both.
Oh, okay.
They are primarily browsers, though.
My favorite browser, obviously, is Google Chrome. Anyway, so, no one's made
Google.
That joke before.
All hail Google.
So that's at least three that could live in the same time and place. Camarasaurus, Brachiosaurus, and, like, Diplodocus or Apatosaurus, you know? Like, because they're eating different parts of the trees. And that still sounds like a heck of an environment. Like, no wonder there were so many large sauropod-hunting predators like Allosaurus and Saurophaganax and Torvosaurus. Maybe we shouldn't go there, actually. Like, if given the option to time travel back there, let's just not, shall we?
We're probably going to get stepped on by something.
Yeah, that'd be the most pleasant death. Just, at least it'd be quick.
Our TARDIS would be squashed.
Yep.
And then that would probably blow up the time stream.
Yes, it would. Or I don't know. It depends on if it's like, oh, it creates a parallel universe each time you do that. I don't know. God. Anyways, let's rank Camarasaurus 1 out of 65 million, shall we? I'm going to give it like a 30 million. Again, it's just medium-sized. I don't know. It's important for the environment. But
it was. It occupied its own ecological niche.
Yeah.
I think it's cool that it was a dinosaur native to our state of Colorado.
Yes, yes.
So
oh,
I'm
going to
stick with the solid 30 million as well.
Yes, 30 million. Take that, Camarasaurus. Medium-sized sauropod, medium-sized rating. The fact it can hold its neck up vertically is pretty cool, though.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah,
you don't hear about that with a lot of sauropods or
no.
Otherwise long neck creatures.
Even Brachiosaurus, with its like longer arms where it gets its name, in terms of its legs, it still kind of held it like at an angle, like a 45 or 50 degree angle. But I don't know. Anyways, all right, well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattd@matthewdoncareer.com for any questions to any of the co-hosts. You can ask Natasha if there's a Class 6 Rapids. Or does it go
Waterfall.
Okay.
You die.
Class 7 is a maelstrom. Class 8 is parting the Red Sea. And Class 9 is just the edge of the world.
Hey, we aren't supposed to tell people about that.
That's true.
You didn't hear anything.
Nope, you didn't. Also, to be fair, the flat earthers, they don't think there's like an edge of the world anymore where you just, there's a waterfall. It's Antarctica is the edge of the world. It's the ice wall of Antarctica. There's no waterfall, because that'd be silly, a waterfall leading off the edge of the world.
What will they come up with next?
I dread to find out. Oh, man. Anyways, like, if you're interested in writing, I have a podcast called The Writ Wit, where two twits talk about writing. And I also have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. I swear I used the Camarasaurus somewhere in there as one of the juggernauts. I might have mentioned it. Wasn't a major character or anything. But I think I did. I don't know. Early on, maybe. Who knows? Look it up, listeners. Buy it and find out. All right, well, that's it for this week. It's the end of every episode of Paleobites. What was it with that chamber? Come on, what's the chamber noise? Like,
I have no idea.
Oh, come on, that hasn't stopped us before. Wow, how'd you get a Camarasaurus in the studio like that? It's right here.
Voodoo, don't question the voodoo.
Oh, no, not the voodoo. Ah!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.